This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My first series collection is out. The first three books of the Storm Below series are gathered in one place. When Ari and Shailene are drafted into the Autonomy's Navy, their love is stressed to the breaking. Assassins, dark gods, the demonic Stormriders are in all they hold dear. You can get all of The Storm Below, an epic fantasy series, in two collections, books 1 through 3 and books 4 and 5, available from Amazon and free to those of you who have Kindle Unlimited. Today, I'm joined by D. William Lansborough. He is the author of the post-apocalyptic fantasy novel Archangel, Shadow's Advent, Book 1.
How are you doing, Doug?
I'm doing very well today, James. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So you go by D. William Lansborough, though, right, for writing?
Yeah. Okay. Some time ago, younger me decided that was more of a fantasy author name. So, like, let's go with that. And it's just stuck.
Fair enough. Yeah, I use all my initials, too. Mainly because someone actually published under James Reed. So, so I was like, well, JMD Reed's free, and I have all these initials, so I can be like Tolkien.
Exactly. Tolkien, Martin, all of them.
Yeah. Listen, I have these two middle names. I'm going to put them to fantasy use.
Exactly. My issue, though, is what I didn't look at before is there is, I guess one of my ancestors is William Lansborough, and he was an explorer of some note, or notable enough that if you are to search D. William Lansborough, I think still one result on the first page will be not me. So,
yeah. Good SEO optimization there.
Yeah.
All right. So I always like to start these out with a fun question or two. So are you a dog person or a cat person, Doug?
Oh, by far a dog person, to the point where I get some happy tears sometimes whenever I'm watching a very heartfelt dog video online.
Fair enough. I think cats are spawned by hell and you should never trust them. But I'm a writer, so I'm weird. So, how long have you wanted to be a writer?
I think if I think back on it, I remember a project when I was in grade 5. So I think that's like 11 years old, where we had to pick a career that we wanted to do and present it to the class. And I chose a writer because at the time, that's really when I started to read a lot of fantasy books. And I stuck with that for a little bit until the high school era when adults started telling me that you can't make a career out of writing, and I listened to them. So I kind of took a step back from thinking about writing until I really, you know, set out on my own, started living on my own during university or college. And that's when I kind of knew, hey, I have these great ideas for stories. Let's actually pursue this.
I don't recall adults really ever telling me what I should or should not be doing with my life.
They were pessimistic adults.
I don't know. Maybe. Or I didn't talk with people. So they probably were like concentrating on the students that did talk or whatever. I don't know. And my parents are like, what? You want to go do that? Yeah. Okay. That's cool, I guess. But I wasn't going to be a writer at first. So even though I wanted to be one, I then was like, well, I want to be a writer, but instead I'm going to go to school for mechanical drafting.
I mean, almost closely related.
They're so closely related. There's almost zero creativity in mechanical drafting.
Which is fair. you gotta be pretty precise.
Yes, you're not even allowed to like do your letters special. They have to be as precise as everything else.
Jeez.
Yes. It killed my ability to write lowercase letters, though.
Oh.
Because everything has to be uppercase, yep. Even when they're lowercase. Yeah. Well, so you have your first novel out on Amazon, yes?
Yes. Yeah, it came out last year, Archangel.
All right. And this follows the Archangel Uriel as he is sent to Earth after the end of the world and the demons have taken over and the angels got kicked. And he's been finally allowed to go down to Earth and try to, you know, kick some demon butt, I guess. So
yeah, that's the gist of it.
Yeah, so I'm just curious, why did you go with Uriel instead of one of the other archangels, like Michael or Gabriel?
I think it ultimately came down to those archangels, primarily Michael and Gabriel, have had a ton of spotlight on them. They're kind of the go-to. Whenever I read a story, it's always about Michael or Gabriel, and there's probably more like lore or information out there about them than there is about Uriel or any of the other ones. But I thought, let's really build this from the ground up. I want to take these elements and characters that aren't unknown but are lesser known, and that way I can kind of make them my own and give them their own personality, their own kind of backstory, and run with that. So I actually, in the Shadows Advent universe, Michael and Gabriel are dead. That was a choice that I made early on. I'm like, let's just take these people everyone knows and get rid of them.
Fair enough. I mean, everyone does know them. I mean, my middle name is Michael, and yep. I know some Gabriels. I mean, so clearly they're getting a lot of press. I don't know anyone named Uriel. No one names their kids after this guy. I mean, so I don't blame you.
And I hope I was going to say, I want fans, but I hope I never get a fan that's like, let's name my kid Uriel.
Fair enough. So why don't you tell us a bit about the story? And, you know, you're going to set the stage, get our readers excited, our listeners. I always want to call them readers, but they're listeners. excited for your book.
For sure. So, like you said, Archangel takes place after the apocalypse. So rather than all the stories about how heaven and hell are fighting, I want to take the world and be like, what happens if hell won and they have this firm grip on the world? So Archangel takes place 10 years after the war between heaven and hell on Earth. And in this world, angels have been driven to essentially the brink of extinction. Any people that are left are either living with their heads down or really embracing their dark nature and working with the demons that now rule the world. And at the start of Archangel, right at the get-go, we have Uriel descending from heaven through a layer of black clouds that cover the entire Earth. And those clouds are more than, you know, just clouds that we have on overcast days. They actually sever the connection between Earth and heaven. And Uriel's the only one, the only angel left that can actually get through them. No one can get back up, and he's the only one that can get down right now. And so we start off right with him. He lands in the middle of a dead forest and has no idea what's going on. His vision and the rest of heaven's vision has been obscured for the last 5 to 7 years, ever since heaven rightfully lost the war that started 10 years before.
How much research did you do into angels and demons? Is this based a lot on existing mythology, or did you do a lot of your own stuff here?
It was kind of a combination of both. And there are some of the bigger characters, especially when it comes to Uriel, and we meet the Archangel Raphael as well. I did a lot of research into them and even the hierarchy of hell to find some pretty notable demons to throw into the story as well. But I would never, you know, copy and paste. And I think that's because if I did copy and paste, the way that angels and demons are written traditionally isn't necessarily going to fit the exact narrative. I want them to be, like I said, my characters. So I took the basis of Uriel, sometimes he's known as the fire of God. So I said, okay, let's really play on this. And four archangels in the story, their wings are different than other angels. And Uriel's wings are actually made of fire. So whenever he's flying around, he has these fiery wings sprouting from his back. And that's how I kind of embrace that lore. But then other times, I think I just go and I find, hey, this is a cool angel name. How can I tweak it a little bit? Or what character can I build based on this name and the loose meaning or lore attached to it?
All right, fair enough. So what notable demons, out of just curiosity, are in this?
The most notable would be Abaddon.
Nice.
Yeah, and so we learn that when Uriel lands, he lands in an area controlled by a demon baron, but ultimately that baron pays fealty to Abaddon, who's one of the princes. And coming out actually a week and a half, we're getting pretty close, coming out in about a week and a half on the 10th is the sequel to Archangel, and that's when we really take the fight from Archangel and bring it to Abaddon's doorstep.
Nice. This podcast might be out by then.
Okay.
My editor has had a bit of family issue right now. Her her father's got COVID and he's not doing great. So.
Oh no. Oh.
Yeah. So we're a little backed up.
That's okay.
Understandably. Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure when this is coming out at this point.
That's
so
fair.
Your sequel book might be out, and listeners, you can go and get it and read two amazing books instead of just one.
Wonderful. I won't say no to that. And if this does come out before the 10th, or maybe even a little longer, depending on how much in the holiday spirit I'm feeling, Archangel is 99 cents right now. But who knows? Maybe that'll go a bit longer because times are tough. So.
All right. Cool.
But yeah, and
so hopefully it'll still be 99 cents listeners when this comes out. And all right, so we have Uriel, we have Abaddon. Any other demons out there? I really like demons.
There are none that are directly pulled from lore or theology or whatever label you want to put on it, at least not yet. Again, there are some that I took an idea of a demon that exists in some theological text and I reworked it to more suitably fit my story and then gave it a name that I really liked. Because some demon names are really cool, some are less cool. Okay. but we will, as the series progresses, we'll meet more and more demons. And I definitely plan on drawing more on the hierarchy of hell, because I think that's a really cool concept.
So no goat-legged Baphomet running around?
Not yet. Though I do have in the series most, I call them lowborn demons. That's your average everyday demon that will be sent off to war and probably killed by an angel. They all look sort of dog-like, and but they stand on two legs. They're all disheveled and desiccated, but their faces strongly resemble a canine's. Whereas the highborn demons, such as Abaddon, or in Archangel, the Baron is called Bodhis, they more resemble other animals, and that distinguishes them from the lowborns. So not necessarily a direct translation from what the illustrations in theology books will show, but that's my spin on making them unique.
Okay. So what was the inspiration behind this story?
That's a wonderful question. And I'm not totally sure what the inspiration was. I absolutely grew up on Supernatural, the TV series. And so I think it was from season 4 onwards, you had angels in there. From season 1, you had demons in there. So right from the time.
The first 5 seasons.
I'm most familiar with the first 5. I'm actually just watching through it all right now, trying to get caught up because I'm behind a season and it just ended. So I really want to finish that up. But
I didn't make it through season 6, sadly.
there are highs and lows, absolutely.
There were 2 really good episodes in season 6 that were really, really great, but then the rest of it was,
Yeah, you didn't make it to the Leviathan season then, which is probably for the best.
Okay, yeah, no, I didn't.
but that concept of angels and demons in a modern setting is, I think, what really sparked my interest in that sort of story. Prior to that, you know, I've been reading a lot of high fantasy, a lot of Dungeons and Dragons, Wizards of the Coast, Forgotten Realms stories. But it was that, and then a kind of deeper dive into urban fantasy and more angels and demons mythos. I know there was a movie called Archangel. It must have been 10 years ago, maybe more. And it had the actor from the HBO series Spartacus, the original one, who unfortunately passed away of skin cancer, I think.
Yeah, that was terrible, though. I really liked that first season, and the guy, it just wasn't the same.
But that actor, he was in, and I think the movie was called Archangel, but it was essentially this archangel goes to, I believe it's hell, but hell is depicted as like a city, as a modern thriving city, and you have, you know, a brothel and a bar and corporations and stuff like that. And I thought that was really cool. And like, here's an angel that's not, you know, clad in metal armor fighting 500,000 years ago. Here's a concept that could exist today. And that might have been, or that probably was one of my inspirations for coming up with this kind of story.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's some great stuff out there. You know, I did like how Supernatural made the distinction between like a fallen angel and a demon.
Yeah.
They are actually different if you look into it.
Absolutely.
The demons are the Shadim, and you know, then the fallen angels are still you know, B'nai Elohim, you know, sons of God, and but they're just bad ones that are on the they were naughty, and yeah.
And I do, and in Archangel, I allude to fallen angels, and in the Shadows Advent series, again, I take the concept of falling, but I change it to more suit the series that I have. But it is a concept in and of itself, and it's something that brings a lot of shame and stigma, and is something that's more explored in the sequel and books beyond book two. There's going to be 6 books in the whole Shadows Advent series, and falling is really something that will be fleshed out as the series goes on, because it's I want it to be a huge concept.
Okay. So are you a plotter or a pantser?
Plotter. Absolutely. Nice.
I don't meet a lot of plotters.
I used to be a pantser, and that's I strongly believe that's why Archangel took me like 4.5-5 years to actually finish. And I know there are very, very successful pantsers out there, and I wish I was among those ranks, but I'm not. I like creating at least a skeleton of the plot, and then maybe flesh out a handful of scenes and then start writing. And I always write chronologically unless I'm really struggling on a scene. But yeah, I tried not having that plot outline for Revelations for the sequel to Archangel, and it did not work out well for the first few months. So I pivoted and became a diehard plotter.
Nice, nice. What advice could you offer any new or aspiring writers, lessons you've learned from along the way? I mean, you spent 4.5 years writing a novel, so I assume you learned some lessons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of that 4.5 years was because I would start and then I would stop, or I would start and then I would say, okay, time spent on social media talking about writing your book is the same as writing, right?
But no, it's not.
It's not exactly. So I think that's why it took a long time. And really, Revelations got done in a fraction of that time. It's been a year and a half, almost 2 years, I'm going to say, actually, since Archangel came out. And given that a pandemic's happened and things have gotten kind of crazy, I think almost 2 years was a good time to get Revelations done. And that's because I treated writing less as a passion or like a hobby and more as something that I want to be serious about. And I would wake up every morning and dedicate 15 to 30 minutes to writing. And then when I was done work, I would say, okay, I'm going to do another 15 to 30 minutes of writing. And making that a habit and making that part of my daily routine paid back in folds. Like, not even a contest. If I went back and looked at my word count for, you know, 6-7 months, that's where the bulk of the 120,000 words that is Revelations was written. That's because I dedicated myself to it. And it was tough at first, like waking up and being like, okay, let's go write instead of let's read the news or check social media or just laze around before getting ready for the day. It's tough. But once you do it consistently and repeatedly, then it feels weird not writing in the morning.
Yeah, because you've rewired your brain.
Exactly.
So yeah, this is that was the hardest obstacle I had to overcome when I decided to take writing seriously, was just making myself write. Mm-hmm. It's like let's go play video games.
Exactly. And I also for gamers out there, and myself included, I said let's not boot up the desktop to write, because if I write on there, I'm inevitably going to switch over to video games. So let's just write on the laptop instead. Fortunate enough to have a laptop and a desktop, of course. Not everyone has that, but that definitely helped out.
And then, don't want to know how many laptops I have. It's ridiculous. Well, I bought a laptop like 12 years ago, and I keep thinking I need to replace it, but it's still the best thing I type on. Like, it's the most comfortable.
That's
and so it's like old. Yeah, I'm rather impressed. It's just old Toshiba. It's like held together by duct tape, actually. I'm not joking about that. Because the case is like breaking. Like the physical case is breaking from like the weight of the monitor like bending on the bottom, and it separated them in half. And the heating fan has gone out not 2 years ago. It still works though. I do have to use an improvised cooling fan to cool it off when I'm not riding on it. But it's the most comfortable thing to type on next to like an actual like ergonomic keyboard on my desktop or whatever. So I'm really dreading the day that it dies.
That I actually had my old laptop die, and by old I mean one that I stopped using a year or two ago, and I was really sad because it wouldn't accept a charge, but I knew I had some writing notes on there that I didn't think I'd saved or backed up, and I couldn't get it to turn on. But then I was just digging through an old email addresses, Google Drive, and I found notes for book 3 of Shadows Advent that I made a couple years ago when I was thinking about it. And it awesome, awesome feeling finding that gem when I couldn't turn on my laptop.
Yeah, I use Dropbox, and I have all my writing saved in the Dropbox folder. So like the moment I hit save on a file, assuming I'm hooked up to the internet, it's just being backed up automatically and synced to my other laptops and my two desktops.
Yeah, that's awesome. I use OneDrive now.
Same thing. I just found a Dropbox first. Like OneDrive wasn't a thing when I started Dropbox, so.
That's fair. That's fair.
But no, it's because I did lose. Like I was trying to do this. Like I would copy files off like my computer, put them onto a thumb drive, and then take them onto my desktop from my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, instead of copying, I moved the files, and then then I deleted them. And you can't recover off a thumb drive easily.
No.
And I lost an hour's worth of writing.
That's devastating. Oh
yeah,
no.
It sucked. So yeah, I'm glad I got the Dropbox now.
Yeah, that's another tip. Back up your stuff.
I don't know about OneDrive, but Dropbox, at least with my account, has like a 30-day like restore. I can go through like 60 days worth of file revisions. Uh-huh. And if I do screw up, I can, you know, like if I accidentally delete a file, or you know, I delete something off a text, like I copied and paste something over something I shouldn't have or whatever. I've had to use this before. Uh-huh. It saved my butt more than once.
Yeah.
Being able to go back, you know, and just restoring a previous version.
I had a bit of a OneDrive scare while incorporating beta feedback into Revelations. I was alternating between my desktop and my laptop, but little did I know OneDrive on my desktop was not set up to automatically start when I started my computer, where it was on my laptop. And so I did all of these changes on my desktop, thought it saved automatically to the cloud, went and continued on my laptop, only to find out that, you know, half a day's worth of work was saved locally and is now vastly different than the 3 days of work I continued on my laptop. It was a dark time.
I have done that where I open a file and go like, wait, where is it? Why isn't this information here? Because I'm on a different computer. And then I go to the other one, I go like, oh, I forgot to like save the file. It's like still open.
Yeah.
or like Dropbox had crashed apparently. Oof. And so I wasn't syncing any longer than I thought it was.
Oh no.
those are just momentary, like, oh no.
Yeah.
Well, that's the perils of writing. Back up your data, writers. I mean it. I have known so many authors that have lost their work when hard drives died because they didn't do something as simple as getting a free Google Drive or a free Dropbox or a free OneDrive account. Mm-hmm. They're free. And like files are so tiny that you won't come anywhere near like the free like size limit with just text files.
Absolutely. I actually not sponsored or anything, but with Revelations, I started using Dabble. It's a word processor that's, I think they advertise themselves as Scrivener, but simpler or something like that. And so one of their features is automatic backup to their cloud service, and it's running all the time. So that, when I was writing it, didn't use it for beta feedback or editing or anything, just wrote my first draft in it. But that was nice because you can go back and check the version history on that, and didn't have to worry about physically booting up or backing up to OneDrive for that.
All right, well, that's cool. So we need to get this wrapped up. So where can our listeners find you on the internet?
All right, so I can be found at my website, www.dlandsborough.com. On Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it's all D.W. Lansborough, or search D. William Lansborough. And I'm on YouTube as well. It's been a month or so since my last video as I get Revelations ready for release, but those videos will start up again. And on there, we're reading through Archangel, and I just kind of chat about stuff related to the book and stuff related to writing, or at least my writing process. So I can be found there. And Patreon as well, where I'm writing an urban fantasy short story series, which is a ton of fun.
Sounds like great. Well, it was great talking with you, Doug.
Yes, this was awesome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you have a good one.
Thank you. You too, James.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.